This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a disturbing revelation today, a big Japanese manufacturer says it's been shipping substandard metal used in cars, airplanes, and more. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. A new corporate scandal is rocking Japan today, causing concern around the world. Kobe Steel, headquartered in Tokyo, admitted that it's been faking data on some of its metal. This doesn't involve steel, but instead copper and aluminum was not up to standard. The metal went into about products at 200 companies with names like Toyota, Mazda, Subaru, Boeing, and the Central Japan Railway. Tim McDonald files for the BBC from Singapore. Welcome.
Good morning.
So this is quite a stunning revelation. There may be a problem with some of the products that Kobe Steel has been selling into the market.
It's mainly copper and aluminum products, and really the scope of it is in some ways really quite breathtaking. It's 200 companies are affected that we know of, and you're talking a lot of the really big Japanese brands. You're talking Toyota, you were talking Central Japan Railway, which runs the famous Shinkansen fast trains, Mazda, Subaru, Mitsubishi. And I guess the greater worry is that this could turn into another Takata, the airbag recalls that have been going on around the world, which started as a much smaller problem and have turned into, you know, a $10 billion problem.
And some will see another black eye for Japan Incorporated.
This isn't the only scandal of this nature. We've had a few lately. I mean, Nissan this month announced a recall of a million vehicles, admitting that workers without the proper certification routinely conducted the inspections, you know. And that's to say nothing of Toshiba, which was, you know, a slightly different corporate scandal that had to do with, with the accounting there. And it turned into a $9 billion issue. And I guess it does say something about, the way corporations in Japan might work and might point to a slightly bigger problem there.
Tim McDonald files for the BBC. He's in Singapore. Mr. McDonald, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's check the markets. The 100 share index in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up 0.2% as well. Crude oil in New York up 1.2% in New York, back above $50 a barrel. The key benchmark for interest rates is down 2.35%. Some big companies are getting board members crusading for change. On Monday, a big hedge fund called Trian Partners put a man on General Electric's board. At today's annual meeting of consumer products giant Procter & Gamble, many will be watching as another Trian person, activist investor Nelson Peltz, tries for a seat on that board. Trian owns 1.5% of P&G. Marielle Segarra reports on how the Game of Thrones is played in 2017.
Procter & Gamble has been around since 1837, and it's introduced iconic products like Pampers disposable diapers and Ivory soap to the world. But Ali DeBage, a senior analyst at Bernstein, says the company has been losing market share for years.
P&G has been very slow to adjust to the new world, whether that be digital, small brands, whether that be focused on more of the emerging markets.
Enter activist investor Nelson Peltz. He wants P&G to cut management, shave costs, and be more targeted with its global marketing. If Peltz gets a seat on P&G's board, CEO David Taylor might be in trouble. For 2 years, he's been trying to turn the company around with his own strategy. John Coffey teaches at Columbia University.
It will be seen as a humiliating defeat, and the new candidate will get on the board and say, see, we've got to reorganize this company and change its policies.
And Coffey says when activist investors win a board seat, the CEO often departs. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Late this summer, President Trump signed a memo barring more transgender people from serving in the military. Defense Secretary James Mattis now has until February to decide if active duty transgender troops will be allowed to continue serving. Trump also directed the Department of Defense to stop providing transition-related health care, citing medical costs. Reporter Megan Pauley with Delaware Public Media looked into that part.
39-year-old transgender veteran Ashley Register started paying out-of-pocket for estrogen hormones in 2014 while serving at the Dover Air Force Base. A year later, she was honorably discharged because of unrelated hip problems. Ever since, her family has been living on disability checks.
It's been very hard, scrapping together here and there, stretching out tax returns and anything just to pay the bills.
While in the military, she hid her true identity as a woman, but she got tired of doing that.
Because if I did, I think that I would have went down a dark road of, you know, not really loving life.
She'd like to have sex reassignment surgery, but that seems like a far-off dream now, since the VA announced shortly after President Trump was elected it was going to drop plans to cover these surgeries in part because of cost. Christine McGinn is a Pennsylvania surgeon specializing in transgender care. She says the surgeries are important for her patients' mental health.
This is evidence-based medicine. It's a medical diagnosis.
The most expensive male-to-female surgery she offers costs $21,500, including pre- and post-operative care. That's a one-time cost. The Department of Defense does not have an estimate on how many transgender service members would like surgery. Aaron Belkin is with the Palm Center, a group researching military and gender issues. He says not all transgender people want surgery.
What the research shows clearly is that the financial waste would come from firing perfectly competent transgender troops and training their replacements.
The Defense Department estimates the cost of training new recruits runs about $75,000 per service member. In contrast, Belkin says the annual average cost of ongoing transgender care for hormones and gender therapy runs less than $700 per service member. In Dover, Delaware, I'm Megan Pauley for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.